land of Canaan, looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He didn't see it, but yet he walked it out. By faith, Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God and was not, for the Lord took him. Time fails us. Time fails us. But by faith. Listen, this is something I noticed the other day, and it's crazy, and I've never noticed it before. When we read Judges 4 and 5, and we highlight Deborah the judge, we highlight Jael, the 10th stake driving phenom. I mean, she's incredible. But did you know that Jael's name is not in the Hall of Faith? But Barak's name is. Who was Barak? Barak was Deborah's general that we give a hard time because he said, I'm not going to go into battle unless you go. And she said, I'll go. But because of that little doubt there, because of that little unbelief, God's going to take the victory away from you and he's going to give it to Jael. Or he's going to give it to a woman, rather. I don't know what happened the rest of Barak's life, but something flipped in that man. I'm just here to tell you, you might not have walked in tonight filled with faith. You might have not walked in having the strength to go into battle on your own. But I'm telling you that before this service is over, you can feel the strengthening power to go face down the chaos, to stand firm, walking with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm not walking in the chaos. I've got the gospel of peace on me. I've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I've got the full armor of God. You don't have to lead the same way that you came tonight. Why don't you shout amen? Hebrews chapter 4. I'm not going to tell you to be seated. I'm not going to preach long. And I promise you, I'll preach shorter if you just keep shouting amen. Because here's the deal. I'm not preaching by myself. And I am not a fictitious triune being either. But I'm preaching and you're preaching. So when you feel your faith start rising, you got to put an amen on that. Hebrews 4 and verse 1. And what I'm preaching is no mystery. You've already got the meat of it. So we're just going to put the sauce on the top. So it is not going to be revealing or surprising where we're going tonight. Verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. See, we've got two different church services going on right now. Stratton, you just stay with me. We're going to go down to verse 4. You just hang with me. I'll read it off the back screen. We got two different church services going on right now. We've got one church service right now where folks are almost like they're just drooling. I want it. I believe it. I've got it. It's for me. It's for my family. It's for my neighbors. It's for my unsaved lover. Yeah. Amen. 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 Faith. 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 Amen. 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 And to those people right now, anything is possible. I mean anything. By faith, the blind received their sight. By faith, they saw their dead raised. I'm already preaching. By faith, by faith, by faith. That's one service. But there's another service in this building. Same preacher, same congregation. For unto us, we don't even really know who the us was. We don't really know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some speculate it was Paul because of some similarities. Others think that it wasn't Paul because of some dissimilarities. Some think it was Barnabas. Some think it was Silas. Some even think it was Lydia. We don't know. We don't know who the us was other than the New Testament population. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. It's the same church service, the same message. But it's going to hit different when you mix it with faith. You might come into the house of God. And if you won't allow yourself the old contemporary Christian songs that tell your heart to beat again. Amen. Phillips, Craig, and Dean. That's taking it straight to the 90s. But the testimony of that song, and I'm preaching, we'll just. The testimony of that song is that they were ministers, and actually they're backslidden Pentecostals is who they are. In fact, Brother Miles Young, whose conference is No Limits that just took place, grew up with them in Louisiana and was actually the bass player in the first band. So some level of ministry involvement was there, and they were at the hospital and somebody was having open heart surgery. And the doctor, the surgery team, had cut that individual open, and it's gruesome, it's rough, it's tough, but I'm going to go ahead and explain it. They literally have to break the rib cage open. They're transplanting the heart. Take the old heart out, they put the new heart in. Everything is hooked up correctly. There is no medical reason why this person should not make it. But somewhere in the subconscious of that individual, they thought they were dead. And so the phenomenon of the testimony is that the doctor leans over to the patient and he said, "Sir or ma'am, whoever it was, I have done all that I can do. There is no reason why you should not survive, but you must tell your heart to beat again." And so we are in a congregation tonight, and there is blood flowing. There is hearts. There are hearts in the room full of faith, full of power. But I'm going to let every single one of us know tonight that there is no reason why you should not be spiritually alive. But sir, but ma'am, you must tell your heart, it's time to live again. It's time to grab hold of faith again. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. That's why one individual can walk out of the church and say, "My goodness. We climbed the walls and bit the ceiling. The paint, it was so hot in there, and the Holy Ghost, the paint was peeling off the walls." And Brother Isaac, somebody else, one of your young peers might even leave the same church service. They're like, my God, that was so boring. I'm sorry, ladies, that sounded like it was just you. My goodness, that was so boring. I wish I'd have just stayed at home and played Xbox. I should have just been at home playing Fortnite. I'd have had more fun. Because your heart is beating and your lungs are breathing, but you don't have life. I want to make sure that the word preached profits me. So when I catch the word of God, I'm going to mix it with faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things I cannot yet see, but the promises of God are yea and amen. Let it be established. That's the difference between the two church services, is that one comes in and one hears a word of God and they allow it to go in one ear, make around and go out the other ear. I don't believe that because it's not convenient. Should have been here this morning. Ah, but the same church service, when somebody reaches out and starts swiping the air, oh, casting a net of faith. I've got my faith with me tonight. God's just able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. To that individual, things begin to change. Miracles begin to happen. Redemption begins to flow. The waters of baptism are beginning to be troubled. People are filled with the Spirit of God. How many want the gospel to be preached? Oh, let's put a bigger amen on that. How many want the gospels to be preached? Amen. Now I want it to be preached to me. Amen. But I want it to be profitable. Amen. So I'm going to put my faith on it. Amen. Doesn't that feel good? Why don't you give God a hand clap of praise? To understand that it's not enough just for the gospel to be preached. The gospel was preached to the Pharisees, but not every one of them believed it. But there was a certain man by the name of Nicodemus who, when he heard it, he said, I gotta know more. Something, we know you're a teacher come from God. You don't have empty words of man's wisdom, but there's something about you. There's something about you that I just have got to get more of. I gotta learn more. And Jesus said, you gotta be born of the water and you gotta be born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said, hello, check my box. I'm buying in. Something we don't think about Nicodemus too often is that James, the earthly brother of Jesus, was not a believer before Jesus' resurrection. But Nicodemus was. Jude, another earthly brother. Let me just put it to you this way. The only individual in Jesus' earthly family that believed he was who he said he was Mary. Joseph, his earthly father, we believe was already dead and gone. Mary, the only one. Needless to say, John, the beloved, seems to be the only disciple willing enough to prove his love in the midst of the raging crowd at the cross. And so, John is there. Peter does not appear to be there. And if he is, he's in the back. He doesn't want to be known. He doesn't want to be recognized. But after Jesus breathes his last and cries, "It is finished," who do we find? Nicodemus. we find Nicodemus going to the powers that be. And Nicodemus walks in as a Pharisee, part of the clan that silenced Christ. He walks in with Joseph of Arimathea, a man of means. A man of means, and now Nicodemus the Pharisee. And they walk in and they say, we want his body. We are believers and we are not afraid to claim it. We're not afraid to show it. Why? Because when Jesus had preached to them, they had grabbed the word of God and they had mixed it with faith. And they let his settle down inside of them. I'm preaching tonight. We got to mix it with faith. We got to mix it with faith. And if we'll mix the word with our faith, it'll take us places in God that not everybody else is willing to go. But I'm here to preach to you tonight that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most powerful in your world when you grab hold of it and you say, let it be so. For we which have believed, verse 3, do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath. But they shall enter, and if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, there's a place prepared for you. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. What does that have to do with anything, Pastor? Well, we read in the book of Hebrews the promise that there is rest for the believer. There is rest for those who will grab the word of God and mix it with their own faith. Where they will take the word of God and they will believe the word of God, but then they will not be satisfied just, oh, that was a good message. I'm just going to put it over here on the shelf. That was good preaching. I'm just going to think about that for a little bit. No, but the power of the message, the power of the preached word of God is when the word of God goes forth and you got your net. You're catching every bit of it that you can, and you're letting revelation fall, and you're saying, okay, I'm going to take that. I'm applying it to my life. Pastor said that I can win a soul. What am I going to do? I'm going to start looking for souls to win. I'm not just going to listen to the message. I'm taking the message to the streets. The message is preached first from across the pulpit, but it's preached next at your dinner table. It's preached next in your break room. It's preached next in the school cafeteria. It's preached next in your workplace. It's preached next when you grab it in faith and you mix your faith in and you say, okay, God, I'm going to be the walking testimony of your word. He prefaced our opening text with Hebrews 3, verses 16 through 19. For some, when they had heard, they did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved for 40 years? They heard the word. They saw the miracles. But yet, they didn't make it. They saw the plagues on Egypt. They literally saw water turn to blood. Flies and lice and locusts and darkness and hailstorms. Hail large enough to kill frogs. Filling their beds, filling their cupboards, filling their bathtubs that they may or may not have had. The outhouse was full of frogs. They see all of those things, and then after the first half, they see that now they're only affecting Egypt, and now they're not affecting us. God has designated us differently. And darkness is ruling over Egypt, but in the land of Goshen where the Israelites live, it's dark. It's not dark anymore. It's light, and it's a normal cycle of the days. Darkness is not there. It's the same people that walked across the Red Sea on dry ground that watched Pharaoh and his army drown. Let me just put it in our modern vernacular, in our modern context. They were baptized in Jesus' name after having repented of their sins. They were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. They were delivered from Egypt. That was the crossing of the Red Sea. That's how it parallels the New Testament salvation. We don't have time to preach all of that tonight, but you need to understand that just because you repented, were baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost does not mean that you're going to continually buy in. But you need to make up your mind. I don't care if I got the Holy Ghost last week or last year or 20 years ago. Today, I'm mixing the word with my faith. I'm mixing my faith with the word of God. He was grieved with them for 40 years. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? We don't have time to do the math tonight, but you're just going to have to trust me. There was like 80 funerals a day if the deaths were consistent. 80 funerals a day. Why? Pastor, weren't those the people of God? Yeah, they were the people of God. Didn't they have promise? Yeah, they had a promise. But just because they had heard the word did not mean they were automatically secure. When it came time for the 12 to go into the land of promise and to spy the land, 2 came back filled with faith. 10 came back filled with fear. And because the multitude of the congregation listened to the 10 instead of the 2, it caused them to go on a death march for 40 years. I just come to preach to you tonight. As we're preaching the word of the Lord, you need to make up your mind. There's no giant big enough that God cannot defeat. I'm just going to let you know, we don't make treaties with giants just like we don't negotiate with terrorists. We don't negotiate with giants by telling them, hey, you just, I won't. You know, I'll just take the pressure off and you take the pressure off. If I just let you have that corner, would you just leave me alone? Let me just tell you, giants takes a lot of food to feed a giant. They might agree in the beginning. But before too long, you're going to realize that you're the one with the corner. And they're the one with the greater amount of real estate. All of a sudden, you're going to find yourself living under their dominion. So we don't make treaties with giants. We're not here tonight. I'm just going to preach it like I feel it tonight, because this is who I am and this is who we are. And we need to grab a hold of our faith and we need to mix it with the word. Let me just tell you, the reason why we're preaching bilingual a couple of days a week most of the time is because we refused to play nice with giants. It's not an inconvenience. Is it hard? Yeah, you better believe it's hard. It's killing my pride. It's rough. It's my flesh doesn't like it. But we don't make treaties with giants. We don't make treaties with the giants that say Huntington's just a white town. I rebuked that in the name of Jesus a long time ago. I refuse to believe that. I'm just going to say it like it is. I hate racism. I don't care to be politically correct. I haven't come to be politically correct. I'm going to tell you that this church is going to be the color of the kingdom of God. If they're black, they're welcome. If they're Latino, they're welcome. If they're Asian, they're welcome. I'm going to take it a step further for the American church. If they're documented, they're welcome. If they're undocumented, they're still welcome. Why? Because I believe God is bringing the world to us. If they're from India, they're welcome. Shalom. If they're from South Africa, they're welcome, Sister Wendy. But 8 years ago, we stared down the giant of racism that had locked this town up since its inception. Do you hear what I'm telling you? I'm telling you, we prayed. I prayed. My wife prayed. The small congregation that we had then prayed, and we refused. We started preaching to empty chairs. We started preaching to dry bones. We started preaching and mixing faith with the word of God. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's more than just a scripture. That's something that we bought in with. That's something that we put the amen on. And let me just tell you, our best days of multiculturalism are not behind us. They are ahead of us. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. It's not just a little Sunday school song. That's the anthem that we march by. They are created in the image of God. No matter whether or not they speak my language, no matter whether or not their skin tone is the same as mine. My God, how boring would the world be if they all looked like me and you? How scary would the world be? I'm serious. It's not a joke. How scary would the world be if they all acted just like me? That's what I'm saying. I'm moving to Canada. Eh? God created you. What are we doing, Pastor? I'm telling you, we're putting some faith on this right now. Amen. Sister Alicia, we got to the point where I wasn't against evangelizing white people. I wasn't against handing passing out cards to white people. But I said, hey, you take a stack of church cards, you take a stack of invitations with you, and if you see anybody in this city that is not white, they do not get by you without knowing that they have a place in this city. And 8 years later, God has brought them to us. I had minister friends, some that you know well. It was not Bishop Wilbanks. He would never do this. So just get that out of your mind. Wasn't Brother Jeremy Wilbanks. Not at all. But it was some other elders who I respect greatly. And I understand what they were trying to say. I understand now what they were trying to do. They said, Brother Fishburne, you can't, you just, that's, it's not possible. Let me qualify what they were saying so you don't go on a ministry hating club. What they were trying to say is don't put that pressure on yourself. They said your church is going to be a reflection of your city. And I'm just, Brother Chris, I'm pretty stubborn. And I'm just not going to believe that. In fact, I believe my city should be a reflection of the church. And I get what they were saying. Hey, you got to take some of that pressure off of yourself. But I don't operate that way. I can't operate that way, because if I operate that way, I'm going to get lazy. And so you want to know what my response was? God, I know it doesn't look possible, but the last time I read your word, with God, nothing is impossible. So what happened? There's a little egg factory downtown that said we need some good labor. We need some laborers who are going to show up every day. And so they start advertising in Latino and South and Central American countries. And they start bussing in people or telling them when you get there, you'll have a job. And so Brother Alonzo is here, not tonight, but he's got the Holy Ghost. And he was baptized in Jesus' name because God started moving people into our city. What are we going to do, Pastor, if they're undocumented? We're going to pray them through to the Holy Ghost. That's what we're going to do. We're going to baptize them in Jesus' name. That's what we're going to do. We're going to love them in Jesus' name. They're going to know they've got a place here. What are we going to call you? Better not. Hold on a second. I'm about to stroke out on that one. If I ever if there was ever a call like that made, your next call better be the ambulance. I'm going to put some unholy hands on that. Because that's not your job. And that's not your concern. Our concern is the kingdom of God. Well, Pastor, what are we going to do if they have to go back to their country of origin? They're going back filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're going back baptized in the name of Jesus, and they're going back full of the Word of God, and they're going to start churches in their countries of origin. That's what we're going to do. And that church is going to get established. And if it's God's will, then we'll help them get back. If it's God's will, we'll help them go through the process. But if it's not, then we're going to build a church. And we're going to go to them. And we're going to support that church. And we're going to be involved in missions. Why? Because I believe what the word of the Lord said. Go ye therefore. We're going to put some faith on the word of God. An entire generation perished in the wilderness. Not because they didn't hear the word. But because they did not believe. And it was not. We're not going to take the time to dissect all the language tonight. You just trust that I've done that. Okay, you can do that on your own. That phrase, that word of unbelief there that he's talking about, whoever he, she, the writer of Hebrews, is talking about, Brother Craig, is not just simply that, I don't think I can believe that. Brother Stender, it literally means they willfully chose not to believe. They refused. They refused. Yeah. Amen. To believe. They saw the miracles, the signs and the wonders. They ate of the manna. They drank the water of the rock. They were surrounded by miracle after miracle after miracle. Yet they would not believe. He said, and when they get to that point, they've heard the message.
Yes.
The same message, the same miracles, the same signs and wonders. They would not believe. Therefore, they did not enter into the rest. That doesn't mean like the rest of the story. It means the rest. Literally, tranquility. Sleep. One word is comfort. Side note here. Bible study time. This is why we don't celebrate a Sabbath day. Isaiah 28 and verse 11, please, Brother Stratton. Isaiah, messianic prophet. Chapter 28 and verse 11. For with stammering lips, hang on, let me get to my notes. I gave you the right, that's the right verse, but. Yes, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Verse 12, that's where I'm at. To whom he said, this, what? The Holy Ghost. Isaiah is prophesying of a day to come when the Holy Ghost is going to be poured out. And it affects your mouth with stammering lips and a heavenly language, another tongue that you did not learn, but is given to you by the utterance of God. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. This is the Sabbath. This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yes, not here. If you're here tonight and you have heard of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as it pertains to repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you have heard what Isaiah is prophesying about. You have heard the very message that the writer of Hebrews is explaining. Yet, if you will not hear, you will not experience the rest. And so you got to take the word of God and you've got to put it into action. You must take the word of God and you have got to put it into action. The Holy Ghost is a resting place. It's a place of comfort. By original definition, it is a place of comfort and tranquility. We know in the word of God that Jesus Christ said, the comforter will come in my name, said Jesus. This is the repose. This is a specific place for resting. This is a specific place of tranquility and sleep and rest. Those are the things that accompany the infilling of the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer. Your world, your family, your job, it might be all going crazy, but the word of God tells me if I can slip into the prayer room, if I can get into the Spirit of God, I can find rest for my weary soul. I got to take the word of God and I got to mix it with faith.
That's right.
Yet they would not listen. Just because some don't listen does not mean all have to follow suit.
Amen.
You can decide tonight. If nobody else wants it,
right.
I want it. If nobody else in my family wants it, I want it. If nobody else in my neighborhood wants it, I want it. If nobody else in my school wants it, if nobody else in my workplace wants it, I want it. The unbelief of the Israelites caused them to lose out with God. They weren't allowed to enter into the promised land. I've come to let you know that the preached word of God goes both ways. It goes from the pulpit to the pew. And in the pew, that's where you grab hold of it. I'm going to sit in the elder's chair because I know he'd be grabbing it if he was here.
Amen.
It's preached from the pulpit. And I say, okay, pastor, all right, preacher, I want it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I was at elder's house the other day. He was clear-minded. This is the best day we'd had in a long time. I said, Elder, you need anything before I go? He said, can we pray? And it's the voice of an elder who said, even though I don't get to come to church, and even though most likely tomorrow, they're going to move him out of his house for the last time.
Yeah.
And he's feeble. And he's weak.
Yeah.
He said, take me there one more time. Pastor, I want to go with you into the presence of our God one more time. And it was so sweet. And it was so powerful. I was praying. I pulled out my phone and I just turned on my video camera and stuck it back in my pocket. So I felt the iron grip of an 86-year-old elder who has had ups and downs walked away from God and found his way back. And every time he come in the house of God, I'm mixing it with faith.
Yes.
I don't know why he doesn't just take me, but I'm going to live for him today. I don't know about his timing, but I'm going to trust the word of God. I don't understand everything. I don't know how it's all going to work out. He looked at me and said, Pastor, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm just ready to go. You can feel, I felt his strength and his faith. This is the rest. I want to listen. I don't want the word of God to enter into the ears of my family. Just to be cast out. So I come tonight to encourage mom, dad. Maybe things aren't where they should be. Maybe things haven't been where they should be. Just because it hasn't been does not mean that the rest of your days it has to be that same way. When you come into the house of God, let me just tell you, the best thing you can do, the first thing that you're going to do, if you're in this place tonight and you're a mom or a dad, and you know, I've not been leading spiritually like I should have been. This is what you're going to do. These are my instructions as pastor. When it's time to come to the altar, and any time is a good time to come to the altar.
Amen.
You don't ask your kids if they want to come to the altar. In fact, if they're not going to pray, you just turn around and you tell them, hey, don't you dare move. Because I don't want to be up there in that altar praying and have to be worried about you back here tearing up Jack.
That's right.
So if you're not going to pray, you just sit right there. I'll be right back. You don't have to invite them. Chances are they're going to look at you like you're crazy anyway because you hadn't been leading like you're supposed to. Okay? That's not a slam. I'm relieving some pressure. You don't have to worry about them. This is what you do. You stand up out of that pew. You get out of that chair and you say, as for me, I'm bringing my first convert to the altar. I'm bringing my first convert. I'm bringing myself. I can't decide for them right now, but I can decide for me. And as for me, notice what Joshua said, as for me and for my house. It starts with me. I'm coming to the altar. And I'm going to grab hold of the word of God. I'm going to grab hold of the God who says nothing is impossible. I'm going to grab hold of the message of the man of God. And the man of God's telling you tonight, it doesn't have to continue in chaos. But you can come to this altar tonight and rededicate yourself to God. You can come to this altar tonight and say, God, I'm taking the word and I'm mixing it with faith. Don't worry about it. We're not afraid of a little darkness. I'm coming to the altar with my own faith. I'm coming to the altar and I'm going to mix up a batch of my faith with the word of God. And I'm going to make up my mind tonight. I'm living for God. I'm living for God tonight. And I'm going to pray through until I pray through. I'm going to shout until I shout through. I'm going to leap for joy. Not because I have joy, but I'm going to leap for joy. Hey. That's the first thing you're going to do. You're going to come to the altar and you're going to pray through. Not like you're a backslider, but you're going to pray until you get a breakthrough. Okay? What am I going to do next? When you get home, you don't have to sit there and try to act like you had it all together all along. Our kids are not stupid. They hear and see through walls. They feel the vibes. They're like, oh, Lord, are mom and dad fighting again? You don't have to act like you got it all together. You say, all right, guys, listen. Meet me in the living room in 5 minutes. One of the best things you can do second is acknowledge your mistakes to your kids. Say, listen, guys. It hasn't been the way it should have been. And I want you to know that I know that. But I also want you to know that it changed tonight. I also want you to know that from now on, we're going to mix the word of God with our faith. Amen. Pastor said we can win souls. Amen. You know, we can win another family. Yes. We can win little Johnny's family. We can start teaching them a Bible study. We could invite them over for fellowship. And they don't know it's fellowship. They don't know that we're evangelizing them. But we can just have them in the house. And while they're in the house, they can feel the Spirit of God. So guys, I just want you to know that we're grabbing hold of Pastor's word tonight. We're grabbing hold of God's word tonight, and things are going to be different. Parents, I'm going to tell you, your children's respect for you is only going to go up when you make those kind of statements. And you tell them, we are not going to be a family that hears the gospel and does not respond. So parents, are you ready? As we stand all over this sanctuary, and maybe you don't have that problem. Maybe you've got it all together. Good for you. I'm glad you do. I want you to know that tonight, this altar is a place for every single individual. We're going to mix the word of God with our faith. The writer of Hebrews said, let us fear. He's trying to quickly get their attention. He's trying to get them to share his fear. He said, I'm afraid that some are going to lose out on the promises of God. And we don't want to lose out on the promise. You see, we're not guaranteed the promise. We're just guaranteed the opportunity. So the writer of Hebrews says, you got to be careful that you don't fall short. You got to be careful that every time you come to the house of God, you don't sit in your pew trying to figure out who the message is for. Oh man, he's really nailing Brother So-and-so right now. Oh, he's really stepping on Sister Susie better than you's toes right now. No, you don't have to worry about any of that, because when you get your faith in the mix, you're going to say, you know what, that word's for me. And the beauty of apostolic Pentecostal preaching is that it's for every single individual. It doesn't matter your level of education or lack thereof. It doesn't matter your social economic status. The promise is for you and for your children. Come on, you got to put an amen on that. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. Why don't you put some faith on the word of God right now? Why don't you let the faith build up inside of you? There may be giants over there, but I know my God's bigger. I know my God is able. I know my God's got all power.